Ed Lee, you're part of a coalition of people who are not happy at all about Bill C-31. You say that it puts LGBTQ refugees' lives at risk. I'm just wondering, first of all, how much of an issue this is? How many refugees are there who are LGBTQ coming to Canada, coming to Quebec?
In terms of how many LGBTQ refugees arrive in Canada, it's hard to say. There's not a lot of statistics around it. Over the course of the last 10 years, there have been thousands. There have been a couple points in time where some researchers have been able to locate some approximate numbers, and so it's definitely in the thousands.
How do we know there are thousands?
For example, there's one researcher, Sean Rehig, who in 2004 located all of the refugee claims are based on sexual orientation specifically. Now, that doesn't include people who are LGBTQ who might apply for refugee status based on other claims, not just based on sexual orientation, but also somebody, for example, from Rwanda could have applied because of the genocide that was happening there, but could also be LGBTQ. So the number doesn't include them, but I can't remember, unfortunately, can't remember the exact number. It was over 1,000 over the course of 1 year. I think it was in 2004 or 2005. But I think overall with Bill C-31, one of the things that is the most worrisome is the fact that this bill is going to impact not just refugee claimants and accepted refugees, but also those who are accepted refugees who are now permanent residents. So those who have transitioned their status from refugee to permanent resident, all of those people who are not yet citizens will be impacted, potentially impacted, by some of the new provisions in Bill C-31.
They can go back and annul permanent residency.
Yep. Right. So what one of the clauses is called the cessation clause. And what this clause will do is that it would potentially give the government the power to identify permanent residents who were accepted refugees. So they could be here 5, 6, 7, 8 years plus. And if it is deemed that they're no longer in need of protection because their country conditions have changed. For example, if you're a trans refugee from Mexico and you have been a permanent resident for 3 years, if the government says, well, the country conditions have changed, there is now state protection for trans people, then they would have the power to say that their permanent residency would cease, and then they would have the power to deport that person.
But what if in the meantime these people have set up a life of their own and started to live here?
Which is everybody, right? Anybody who's gained permanent residency has been here for at least 3 to 4 years, up to 8, 9, 10 years, sometimes more than that. Because sometimes it can take quite a few years before you gain refugee status. And then from the time that you gain refugee status, it can take 1 to 2 years before you become a permanent resident. So people will have established their lives here. It's really hard to say to how far reaching the government will go to target permanent residents, but the problem is that it's possible. So it's possible for the government to identify certain countries as no longer threatening for specific groups of people, and then to say that their status should be revoked, which obviously would pretty much ruin the lives of thousands of permanent residents who have established lives here, who are, you know, working, might have families, and obviously have a really strong community of people around them.
It's as if this bill is telling us that these people's lives are in limbo practically forever. It's going to take them a long time just to become refugees because they're going to be in detention for so long.
There's a new provision that would state that if the minister, I think it's the Minister of Public Safety, identifies a group of two or more people coming as irregular arrivals, then they would be placed in detention for a minimum of 1 year without the possibility of review. There are already hundreds of people who are being placed in detention, refugee claimants, so not people who are identified as criminals or whatever, but refugee claimants who are being placed in detention now. And conditions in detention, which there's been a few new reports that have come out by researchers who have done, you know, reports, have talked about the psychological consequences, the mental health consequences of those who are in detention even for a day or two. And what this new bill would do is give the government the power to decide that some refugee claimants should be in detention for at least 1 year. And this would also include those who are 16, 17. For children who arrive with their mom, with their mother, who are under 16, they would unfortunately have to decide, do I stay in detention with my parent, with my mother for a year, or do I go into state care?
I don't know how many 17-year-old Canadians are able to say repeatedly, that they are gay, they are gay, they are gay. But apparently that's what's being asked of these new arrivals.
Yeah, part of, unfortunately, what the refugee process does, which it does now, so it's not something necessarily that's new, but because of these sort of harsher policies and the fact that, for example, more people will end up in detention, what that means is that LGBTQ refugee and refugee claimants will be more at risk of exposure to homophobia and transphobia, because when you're a refugee and you go to anybody, so whether it's a government official, a lawyer, obviously in detention it would be pretty much any immigration official there, you have to explain why you're claiming refugee status. And if the reason for why you're claiming refugee status is based on your sexual orientation or gender identity, then it's really hard to hide that, because that is the basis of your claim. And so you have to talk about that to numerous people, and you don't know what that response will be. Some people may be open and obviously not homophobic and transphobic, but then there are others who are, unfortunately, whether they be immigration officials, authorities, people, security guards working in detention, or lawyers or service providers or whomever. And so unfortunately, yeah, some of these policies in Bill C-31 will result in LGBTQ refugees being at higher risk of exposure to homophobia and transphobia.
One more thing. I know you've got a cold and I'm taxing you, but
sorry.
I'm sorry. Jason Kenney seems capable of looking at an atlas and deciding which countries are safe and which ones are not for homosexuality. How is he able to do that?
That's one of the things that is most problematic. And this, I think, would include also not just those who are LGBTQ, but also women as well, so refugees who experience gender-based persecution. Because oftentimes, for women and LGBTQ people, the kinds of persecution they face are within their families, within their larger communities, and then, you know, they're not able to have state protection. And so when you sort of identify an entire country as safe, that means that it'll be impossible for, or nearly impossible for, LGBTQ refugees to say, look, the kind of persecution I'm experiencing is from my family or from my community, and I don't have, the state is not able to provide me with that protection. And unfortunately, for example, in the case of Mexico, what it appears to be from the outside is that Canada and Jason Kenney and the Canadian government is kind of thinking about sort of their own foreign policy interests. To be able to shut the door of refugee claimants to Mexico would allow them to further enhance their free trade agreement with Mexico, and also allow, for example, tourist visas, which they stopped a few years ago. Unfortunately, over the past few years, you know, Kenney and other government officials have identified a lot of refugees as bogus and as queue jumpers. And unfortunately, what that does is that dehumanizes an entire group of people, places them all in a box, and you don't actually realize how difficult the refugee process is, how draining it is, how re-traumatizing it can be. You know, and that's the kind of, I think, information that the broader sort of, you know, general population, especially citizens, don't really see. Unless you know of refugees or work with refugees, you don't see the everyday implications of the process and how hard it is for refugees now, before this bill is coming into play, and how the vast majority of refugee claimants would never go through this process unless they had to, unless they felt that their lives were at risk, because it is a really difficult process. And Bill C-31 will make it that much more difficult and will place thousands of people, their lives will be at risk because of this bill.
It's really wonderful to see among the people who've signed this press release, not just the Conseil québécois des gays et lesbiennes, but also Arc-en-Ciel d'Afrique, Gay et Lesbiennes Asiatique et Chelem Montréal, which is from Lebanon. And others. I'm wondering what you do just with a government that doesn't seem to be able to listen.
One of the key things for us, and it's been really great to be able to speak with all the other LGBTQ ethnic and racialized organizations here in Montreal, and for people to understand the implications of this bill, because it will impact all of our communities. And so that's been really great. I think one of the key things that we're really working on over the next few weeks to raise awareness about the bill to the general population. So we're working, for example, on a short animated film to talk about these implications that will be accessible to the general sort of population, because I think for some reason there's not a lot of talk about this bill. even though this is, it's an omnibus bill, it's a huge bill. Some talk around the budget, for example, has kind of overshadowed this bill over the last week. And because I think it's on the second vote. It hasn't gone to the committee yet. And so there is still some space over the next month for us to pressure the government to try to make some changes to the bill, especially with the three things that we've identified around the cessation clause, the clause that will impact permanent residents, the clause that will make detention mandatory for a year for some refugees, and then the safe country. I really feel like with enough public pressure, the government may feel compelled to make some changes to the bill.
There is a website here, ccrweb.ca.
So the Canadian Council for Refugees, they're a really amazing organization, coalition of newcomer organizations across Canada, and they have a lot of really detailed information that people can turn to and places to sign letters or sort of how-tos as well. I mean, there's a bunch of organizations as well, such as Amnesty International, known as Illegal, all of our groups. There's a ton of groups that are working to raise awareness about this. And so, yeah, so I really encourage people to look at all of these organizations at their websites and to try to get involved and just even pass on the information.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Ed.
Okay, thank you.